Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you're walking through a battle right now, you may wonder why, how will I get through this, where is God? Has he lost my address? Well, every Friday during the month of August, this is week two, so every Friday during the month of August, I'm going to talk about how to be strong in battle, how to discern places where we're giving the enemy easy access to our lives, what's really a wise battle strategy for the current times in which we find ourselves. And we're going to give away five copies every Friday of my new book, Strong in Battle, Why the Humble Will Prevail, along with those beautiful 10 quote cards. Thanks to Bethany House for kind of partnering with them to give away five copies every single Friday during the month of, August. Okay. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Today, I'm going to talk about navigating the long battle. And I have a few questions for you before we get started, because I really want to pray for some of you as we go. And then I have an announcement as well. So the question I have for you is, what's been the long battle for you? And maybe you're through it. Maybe you're on the other side, but you're thinking, that took a long time to see a breakthrough. Or maybe you're walking through it even right now. And you're like, I see God moving in these other areas of my life, but here it's crickets. I don't know why he's not speaking. I don't know why he's not moving. What is the long battle for you? Would you text me? And let me know. And we're going to pray. I'm going to get Kim on. I forgot to tell her she's producing today. I'm going to get Kim on. She's going to pray with you, and I'm going to pray with you. Kim's an amazing prayer, so we want to stand with a number of you as we can. So tell me, what has been your long battle, or what is your long battle? 877-933-2484. So my announcement, really excited about this, is we're partnering with Faith Radio, our ministry in Faith Radio, to bring you a free online book study. We did this before. It was a major hit, and we want to do it in the fall. We strategically placed it there because I'm sure you've noticed in the fall is when enemy opposition picks up, and there's lots of thoughts and reasons on why that happens. I have my own ideas about that, but the idea is it's like we get excited about going into the fall season. It's a gorgeous, beautiful season, especially in the upper Midwest, but you also notice a spiritual intensity, a spiritual opposition, sometimes oppression and harassment. So we've strategically chosen to do an online study starting in September that runs to mid-October. But the signups have to take place in August because we've got to move all those emails into a system. So once the signups are closed, you can't get into the study. We had so many people who waited to the last minute and wanted in on our Fully Alive study and couldn't do it. So I don't want you to procrastinate, but I also want you to stay with me here. So after the show, hop on our website, myfaithradio.com. It is free. It's a free online study. You don't even need the book to participate. You'll get a weekly email with content, prayer reflection questions, a meme, an audio word and prayer from me, and then a weekly live stream. It's going to be really great. So myfaithradio.com. I pray that you'll join us. I really think it's going to be awesome. Text me book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And then I'd love to know what you're walking through. What's been your long battle? And Steve, I can always count on you. He says, my long battle has been trusting God's plan instead of believing I'm calling the shots and I'm in control. I just appreciate that so much, Steve. And the more we learn to trust him, the more we realize he's so trustworthy. Navigating the long battle. Okay, a lot of you have heard plenty about my health challenges. But as some of you know this, but about, I think it was 20, 25 years ago, when things seemed like they were settling down for me, health-wise, getting, you know, in a manageable place. And we sent out our Christmas letter saying, we've had so many faithful friends. Stand with us. Pray with us. Thank you. It seems the Lord is bringing us into a new season. And you'll hear me chuckle because so we thought. And we literally sent that letter, that Christmas letter out 25 years ago. And within, I don't know, a few days, my hubby discovered a lump that proved to be cancer. And it was testicular cancer. He's 35 years old, which is a very treatable cancer. But it was odd to be as old as he was because it's a young man's cancer. And that little hard lump was just the tip of the iceberg. It had been growing for a year. And so it was up in towards his stomach. So the incision, he had major surgery from his groin way up into his stomach and needed radiation. And my hubby's always been the strong one. I always call him my oak of righteousness. He's 6'3". He's just an oak. He's solid. Physically, he's built that way, and spiritually even more so. And he's just as you know, fragile and vulnerable as I have felt at times with this wretched battle that I've been through. He's just steady. So to watch him go through that surgery is one thing, but then go through radiation where he went down hard. And there were times, and he's given me permission to share this, but he would lie in bed just groan, and I would put my hand on his back to pray. He goes, "Don't touch my skin. My skin hurts. Don't touch my skin." And there was one time when he was on his all fours in bed moaning because he had lockjaw and an inflamed spine from radiation, and he almost was whimpering. And you know, it was like so painful to watch this big, strong guy go down. And maybe you probably did hear this because he and I were on together talking about a marriage, but that's what God used really to move him, you know, to show him his mortality. He was a workaholic and a good man, but a workaholic. And that really, he says, God allowed me to lay down so I could look up. But all that to say, in that season, that was super scary for me as a young mom who still didn't have the best health ever. And I remember this day. So we lived in this kind of modified two-story, and we put a wall up. When we built the house, we put a wall up to where the family room would be, thinking we'll finish this after. So we had more unfinished square footage than we did finished, thinking just, you know, sweat equity. We're going to do it ourselves. So he knocked out that wall, and he built in like a fireplace and wall cabinet. So we had plywood on the floor, and then he got sick. And then one of our sons knocked over a can of stain. So it looked like a bear skin rug. So we went with that. So he had this easy chair on plywood with our bear skin rug on the plywood. And he'd sit by the fireplace after radiation, covered in a blanket, and sleep. And our boys just did not want to leave him. So they would sit at his feet and play their games. And even when their friends would come over, they're like, "You want to come out and play?" And I'm sure their mom sent them, "Go see if the Larson boys want to play." But they'd always say, "You know, we're good. We just want to stay here by our dad." And it was really such a tender thing. But so I remember one day, I don't know where the boys were, but I was sitting in his chair while he was at his radiation treatment. And I was crying. I was talking to a friend. And the enemy had just pressed in so hard. And I was hearing stories that, yes, it's treatable, but when it goes too long, it can go to your brain and all these other things. And fear had overtaken me. And I'm sitting there. And as I'm sitting there on this easy chair on the plywood, all of a sudden, the snake scurries out from under the chair and slides. You know how snakes are. They're so – he's just kind of slithering across the thing. And I dropped the phone, and I screamed, and I'm, "Oh, my word!" And I'm yelling for the boys. And two of my boys are running down the stairs. They're just young, you know, young boys, but they're arguing, going, "It's my snake. No, it's my snake." And I'm like, "Wait, get the snake out of here." And they were fighting over it because one said, "I was the first one down the stairs to get the snake." And the other one says, "Yeah, but I lost it in the chair 2 days ago." And I'm like, "You what? This is such a boy thing. I'm sorry. Girls would not do this." But so, I don't know, Luke, I think, was the one who was sitting in the chair. He'd grabbed a gardener snake from outside, and it slithered out of his hands. And he got up and shrugged his shoulders and went, "Oh, well," and then left that snake. And, you know, we laugh about that now. And I even laughed after. I was a little mad at them. But I thought it was such a visual for me, because the enemy, when you're in a long battle that makes you exhausted, the enemy will either bait you into fight flight or lull you into apathy. These are the two things he likes to do. And he uses spiritual intimidation. And that's what he was doing. And yet to see that visual of the gardener snake, it's just a little, I mean, it was a medium size, but even so, it's like, even I could have grabbed it and thrown it outside. I was a boy mom, for crying out loud. But in that moment of vulnerability, it just seemed like so symbolic until I saw it for what it is, and my young boys are fighting over it. It's like, I sometimes think the enemy is able to do these smoke screens but they're spiritually intimidating. So he takes our fears and he projects them into a major threat. And you just need to know that is when you're exhausted is when he comes after you. And if he can't get you into fight flight, he's going to lull you into self-indulgent apathy. So I'm going to read a little bit from this chapter. I'm still in Wisdom in the Off Season. Last Friday, we talked about questions we need to ask ourselves when we're coming out of the battle. But I'll just read a little bit here and we'll keep talking. It's important to remember that God is the one who decides when our battle is over, not us. If you recall from Scripture, when most kings were going out to war, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. King David sent someone to fight in his place while he retreated to the roof of his palace. Just because he'd won some valiant victories in the past didn't mean he'd earned the sweat equity to opt out of his present battles. God decides when we rest and when we war, not us. His ways are higher than our ways. He knows that when our flesh is weak, listen to this, he knows that when our flesh is weak, the smartest thing we can do is to engage our faith muscles. I shudder to think of who I'd be and the choices I'd have made if not for some of the intense battles that kept me diligently engaged with God's word. That realization hit me one day when I was so hurt. And I've been super honest about that because it's just been a super long battle and I've hated it at times. But I remember the Lord just impressing upon my heart, you don't even know what this battle, how spiritually agile this has made you, that's kept you from worse fights. And I knew it. I like suddenly knew it was true. And Psalm 18 downloaded into my heart. He trains my hands for battle. He strengthens my arms to bend a bow of bronze. He makes me to walk on high places, which means he makes you agile. You know, it's amazing. We long for ease, right? And which can lead to apathy. And if God is calling you to engage, who knows if he's not saving you from a much worse attack? It's sparring practice. It's wax on, wax off, isn't it? You stand, you raise your shield, you learn how to fight even when you don't feel like it. I mean, think about our armed forces, times when they're in a battle and they don't just flip a switch and decide, I'm tapping out here. They are pushed to fatigue at times, you know? God is the one who decides when the battle is over. And again, I shudder to think about who I'd be if not for some of those intense battles that actually kept me engaged with God's words. You know, David's decision to abdicate his responsibility, listen to this, set in motion a series of tragic events, if you remember what happened on the rooftop with David. And then there's Joshua. God instructed Joshua to occupy the land of Canaan, and it took him about 7 years of intense warfare to carry out God's plan. Then God gave Joshua and the people rest from battle. The thing is, when God decides this season is over, he will bring a kind of rest that will restore you in a way that you could not do for yourself. He will restore you in a way that ease or apathy, you know, or even the perfect vacation can never do. He will bring a restoration that he knows that you need. So there'll be times when you want to retreat and God says it's time to run. There'll be times when you want to run and God says, nope, you're going to stay put and you're going to watch me work. There are several things we can learn from the battles recorded in the Old Testament, and I'm going to tweet this out. Here they are. Our emotions are not always wise counselors. Our perception of our strength or lack thereof is usually wrong. So we need to get our marching orders from God alone. We don't stand a chance in battle unless God has led us to it. We can trust him to come through for us as we're out of strength and overwhelmed. We serve the God of the breakthrough, and in one way or another, his purposes will prevail. Can somebody give me an amen? We're going to pause here. I want to have you text in. I see a few more coming in. What's your long battle been? And I want to know if you're still in it. We'd like to be able to pray for you. We've got 5 copies of my new book, Strong in Battle, Why the Humble Will Prevail, thanks to Bethany House and partnering with them. 5 copies this Friday, 5 copies next Friday, and the Friday after that. And you don't need the book to be involved in our study. But it might make it a little richer of an experience for you. So I hope you win. Just text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, better on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need, you got. There's honey. Started to sing along and Kim had to bring that music down. I don't want you to hear my voice. Such a good song. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. Every Friday during this month, we're walking through content of my book, Strong in Battle, Why the Humble Will Prevail. And I'm so grateful that this month we're giving away 20 copies, 5 every Friday. If you want in on the drawing, I will tell you, I just finished writing my 20th book. This one, Strong in Battle, feels like one of the most important books I've ever written. And it really is a handbook for navigating battles, rightly interpreting your battles, discerning how and why the enemy is able to come against you, and tethering your heart more firmly to the love of God and the security that you have in him. If you want in on the drawing, you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And today we're talking about the long battle. And before the break, I was saying how when you get in that long battle, the enemy either tries to bait you into fight flight, where you're constantly bracing for impact, waiting for the next shoe to drop. And it is an exhausting way to live, and it's not a sustainable way to live. And it literally does drain your adrenals really bad. And it's hard on the heart and the soul. But if he can't get you baited into fight flight, he'll kind of lure you into apathy and kind of seeking ease. And just all you can think about is getting a break versus leaning in and stewarding. God, what are you up to here? The Lord himself is the one who determines when your battle is over. So that means if it's not over yet, it's because God's not done yet. And he's got more to do in and through us. And I think I've talked about this a couple months ago where, you know, I was having one of my pouty days about the length of the battle. And I was quoting back to God, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a promise fulfilled is the tree of life." And, you know, I was like, this is why I'm heart sick, because my hope is deferred. Anyway, the Lord just, I could almost feel his chuckle. He says, "Look it up." So I did a little word study, and hope deferred. Did you know the word deferred in that verse is actually a verb? So it's hope thrown aside, hope postponed. It's an action word that we initiate in our lives. It's us putting aside hope for another day. If we do that, it makes us heart sick. And that's why, you know, our hearts can't live without hope. We gotta have hope. So if you are finding yourself more on that side of apathy and disengagement where you're just sick of it and you're tired of it, I get it. I so get it. I'm asking you to reengage again. And these are some action steps you can take or leave, but they're out of the chapter Wisdom in the Offseason. One is take your worship to a whole new level. That might be a bit uncomfortable depending on your denominational background, but there's a biblical basis for it. Look up Psalm 84. You know, even if it's in the privacy of your home, put together a fresh worship playlist and raise your hands or get on your knees or open your palms in your lap and just tell God who he is. He inhabits the praises of his people. He is made for worship. And my pastor always says there's two times to worship, when you feel like it and when you don't, because he's worthy of our praise. Also, expand your study and time in God's word. Memorize a few new passages and pray them often. I mean, engage your faith muscle. Also, re-engage in your faith community if you've isolated, and that's tempting to do. When you get into that apathy place, you justify all kinds of indulgence, and it weakens you. You know, it's like binge-watching movies. It sounds good when you've had a really busy work week, but then you get up from that place and you feel like I've had 20 s'mores or something. You feel toxic because it's not a little bit of this and a little bit of that's one thing, but that indulgence to try to numb what you've been feeling never moves you forward. So re-engage your community if you've let that go. And then be careful not to disengage or drop your guard. You know, the enemy doesn't take a vacation even when you do. And then consider the weapons of your warfare, Ephesians 6. Each day, recognize the importance and function of the shoes of peace, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of spirit. You know, our victory in the battle directly correlates with our use of these weapons. And we're wise to familiarize ourselves with these when we're not in the heat of the fight. Put on your armor and remind yourself, I'm putting on that helmet of salvation. I have the mind of Christ and I see things from an eternal perspective and my eternity is secure. So even if I'm in battle, the end, I win because Jesus won. My eternity is secure. God, give me eyes to see things from a redemptive perspective. I pray through that whole thing when I put on that helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. You know what? Your heart is covered. And you think of these warriors when they have the breastplate, they have these fake abs and fake pectoral muscles. They're putting on this armor that kind of almost gives the illusion. But we put on the strength of our God and our hearts are secure in him. And we're able to stand in battle because of Jesus imparted righteousness to us. Each of those pieces of armor are for a purpose. Another one that's super important that will help you re-engage is to pray for your fellow believers who are right now in the heat of the battle. God didn't design us to do these journeys alone. It's why I so love doing the journey with you every day. Also, see a Christian counselor if necessary. Sort through what you've come through and what you're walking through. And to do that to the point where you're more encouraged by the fruit of your suffering than you are afraid of future trials. If you're still bracing for impact, if you're still kind of deeper into a place of mistrust because you haven't been able to sort through what you're walking through, which that's like a grief stage. It's just, it is what it is. And it's okay wherever you're at. But know where you're at, name where you're at, and then engage so you can say, I want to get to a place where I'm more in awe of the fruit in my life from the suffering than I am a fear of what future suffering may await me. And that's a really powerful journey to engage in. Spend some time, I love this one, dwelling on your good memories, ones that ignite joy. Sit with them and linger there. Studies show that it's actually nourishing for your brain, your cells, and your soul. And you'll be amazed at how this exercise not only will refresh your perspective, but it is like vitamins for your brain. So create some time. Put on some instrumental music. Light a candle. Well, maybe guys, you might not like to. Girls like to do that kind of stuff. You know, put a fire in the fireplace. But sit down and create space and remember a favorite family vacation. Remember a time when you were fully alive and fully yourself. And then ponder, why did that memory come to me? I would submit to you when God brings you those memories. I wrote a lot about this in Fully Alive. That is a picture of restoration that is to come. Like if it's alone time, that God wants to, part of your restoration is he wants to reinstate some solitude for you. If it's community time or a time when you and your family were crammed in a car and you're going to the cabin and you just were all squished together and you loved it, maybe that's a picture of God saying, I want to re-engage you with community. You've been maybe going it alone for too long. So spend some time pondering some of those good memories. Smile at the thought of them. Thank God that you've got some good memories. And when we go too long in suffering or too long in battle and we forget those memories, it's almost like all of our good memories get compressed and flattened down. But all you got to do is remember one and it kind of lifts it up. Then the next one kind of gets a little air in it. And then God will bring up another memory and another one. And it's just so healing for us to remember the goodness of God. Remember that we've seen his goodness in the land of the living. And that goodness and mercy chase us all the days of our life. Here's another one that I really like. Have fun. Add laughter back to your days. Don't postpone joy. Don't wait till you get the full breakthrough before you have a party. Or, you know, celebrate with some friends. Or watch a movie that makes you belly laugh and snort, you know? Have some fun. Do some things. Put some things on your calendar that you actually look forward to. You know, I love the brain science thing, and I wrote again about this in Fully Alive. But you know how important it is for your brain and your physiology to have something always on your calendar that you look forward to? You hear people say, I don't even like prepping for holidays or special events anymore because I get more excited about the prep than the actual event. That event sometimes is a letdown. Well, you know what? That prep is not wasted on you. Being excited and anticipatory is actually nourishing for your brain and super healing for your soul. So have some fun, and I challenge you, put some things on the calendar that you're looking forward to. You want to know what I'm looking forward to? I'm so excited. Our third daughter-in-law hopes to join us one of these years, but two of my daughters-in-law and I, next weekend, we're doing the first annual Larson Try. And Kev said it's a TRY, but you can call it what you want. But we're going to do a 15-mile bike ride. We're going to do a 3-mile walk run and then 30 minutes in the water, either kayak or swimming. We haven't decided yet. And yes, they don't know it, but I got participation trophies and we all have matching jerseys and we're going to play games after and because it's for one of the girls' birthdays. And I'm thinking I'm going to open it up next year to more people because it's so fun. We're just going to try it. We're going to just do it. We cannot wait. What do you have on your calendar that you're looking forward to? I pray that you plan some fun. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we'll talk more about how to navigate the long battle. You're not going to postpone joy. You're not going to postpone fun and laughter. In fact, your soul needs it right here, right now, so very much. We're drawing from my book, Strong in Battle, and we'll be back in a minute.
Yeah.
sometimes you got to let a song play out. Fear is not your future. Sickness is not your story. Fear is not your home. Jesus is your home. He's your healer. He's your story. He's writing a beautiful story. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. Each Friday, the month of August, we're walking through the content of my new book, Strong in Battle, Why the Humble Will Prevail. And today, we're talking about navigating the long battle. We've got 5 copies to give away each Friday, a total of 20 copies that are going out this month. I'm super excited about that, along with a 10-pack of cards. These are gorgeous quote cards, just beautiful scenes and with quotes from the book. Here's one. God will lead you beside peaceful streams. He's well able to restore your soul while the nations are in chaos. And that's just true. So you can text the word book if you want in on the drawing. 877-933-2484. Here's a Mark Batterson quote. I love this. He says, one of two things happens over time. Either your theology will conform to your reality and your expectation will get smaller and smaller until you can hardly believe God for anything, or your reality will conform to your theology and your expectations will get bigger and bigger until you can believe God for absolutely everything. This is what happens in the long battle. We either lower our theology to match our experience to the point where we stop having hope and expectancy. I'm sure you've met believers where there's just the light has kind of gone out of their eyes. They're loved, they're saved, but there's no hope. There's no sense that God is up to something here. And I got to tell you, friend, God is up to something here. He's always up to something here. And now he's active. I want you to, if we could peel the sky back, you would see him pointing his angels in this direction and then pointing them in that direction because of the prayers of the saints and the faith of his people. He is no respecter of persons, but he's a respecter of faith. And you have a chance to engage your faith in this very place. Well, in this particular chapter, chapter 6, Navigating the Long Battle, my subtitle is Stay the Course. I'm just going to read a little bit here. I write here, most mornings I wake up and know within a minute or two what kind of day it'll be for me, symptom-wise. I look forward to the day when I wake up and it doesn't even occur to me to wonder such things. Even so, I'm learning to find Jesus on the battlefield. I'm learning to embrace joy in the not yet. And in hindsight, I'm beginning to see some of the benefits of the battle. Here's an excerpt from one of my journals. And here's a journal entry. The long battle makes whiners of some and warriors of others. I could easily be the whiner, but I am determined to be a warrior. When longing and lament give way to grumbling and comparing, we quickly lose strength and precious ground. When literal soldiers fight in a literal war, they're in the trenches together. They build a camaraderie that makes them stronger together. They win and they lose together. Unfortunately, for those of us in spiritual battles, it's quite different. We find ourselves side by side with folks who seem to be living it up with no apparent care or cares or concern. We mingle with those who seem to easily possess that which we've lacked for so long. It's hard to admit, and maybe this is my own pain filter, but sometimes you get the sense that while some feel a little bad for you, others assume you kind of deserve your lot, like you must have missed a step. Still, you walk alongside others who barely notice that you're bleeding under your armor. The long battle can be lonely at times. I notice for me that when my longing and lament lead me to a place of despair, I need to step back and remember God's glorious, extraordinary greatness, his majesty and kindness, and his faithfulness to his promises. God is writing me into the unfathomable historic kingdom story that he's crafting for all time. And by the way, friend, he's doing the same for you and with you. And then I write, my place in his heart and this story matters greatly. Therefore, how I steward this long battle matters significantly in the eternal story God's writing for his people. The things I long for now, I'll one day enjoy in heaven. Getting my way on earth isn't God's ultimate goal for me. Expanding his kingdom is. I've got work to do, promises to believe, faith to engage, and love to give, intimacy to enjoy. Oh, dear Father, I do delight in you, and I trust you with the longings of my heart. I refuse to count the days of my journey. It only weakens me and brings me despair. I'll count my blessings instead. Without a doubt, because I belong to you, I know that my future days will be far more glorious than my former days. And my former days are behind me. I'm still standing. I still believe, and I look forward with holy expectancy. Even now, God, you're answering prayers of your children around the world and bringing forth a glorious plan that will one day leave us breathless. So as the scriptures say, I'll be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and constant in prayer. I trust you, and so I trust you with my whole heart. In your son's matchless name I pray. Amen. And then I move on to the story in 1 Samuel about Hannah, and I wrote more extensively about her in Fully Alive, but I visit the story in this book because I just had to make this point. But you think about this. Hannah was loved. Her husband loved her, she was loved. So she was blessed because she was loved, but she felt cursed because she was barren. She could not have children. And I know it was culturally acceptable, but her husband got an extra wife because he couldn't get children from Hannah. And even now, I just like, you know, I don't know. It's just, I know that was culturally acceptable, but it's sickening. I'm just trying to imagine for Hannah, who couldn't bear children, loved her husband, and he loved her. I can't even imagine what that must have been like. And it was bad enough that Penaniah could, you know, spit out babies like a Pez dispenser. She just had them constantly, could have babies, no problem. But she flaunted those children in Hannah's face. She made Hannah's life miserable, is what Scripture says. So it was bad enough that she was super fertile, but not that that was bad, but that she would use that to taunt and torment Hannah, going, look what I have, look what you don't have. I can't even imagine the double loss that that must have been for Hannah. And there was a point when Penaniah had moved Hannah to tears by her pettiness and her meanness. What did Hannah do? She got up from the table and she ran into the temple, exactly what God would have us do, to get up from those places where the enemy's having a heyday with us and run into his presence, not to numbed out indulgence so we don't have to feel the hurt that we so don't want to feel. She went to cry out to God. And what does Eli do? How does he respond to this dear, brokenhearted, godly woman? He says, what are you drunk? What have you been drinking? I mean, the girl cannot catch a break. And she's so humble. She's like, oh, no, sir. And she explains that she's crying out for the desires of her heart. But scoot in a little closer, if you would, because Eli had his own pain filters. His own sons had been drinking in the temple. He was seeing Hannah through his own pain filter. He was accusing her for that which his sons were guilty of. And you hear this all the time, hurt people hurt people. And as my friend Melissa Coleman, who's been on the show before, says, well, healed people heal people. And this is why it matters so much that we wrestle through our hurts, our disappointments. You don't just let those things linger in the long battle. It's so interesting because Eli, once he realized he saw it wrong, he saw her, but he didn't see her. He didn't discern the situation. And this is really important for us. He could see her crying out to God, but he assessed it all wrong. If we don't deal with our own pain filters and bring those things before God to say, show me what's true in light of eternity. You know, you got a prodigal, let's say you do. The enemy will work all day long to blame you. There are no perfect parents. As they often say, we often take too much blame and too much credit. And something that I've learned is parenting is not a formula that guarantees an outcome. It's an offering that promises a harvest, and it's going to look different than you probably think. But if you're constantly under attack because of your prodigal, you got to sort that out with God to say, I'm coming into a place of being loved, called, accepted. I've repented of my mistakes, and now I am standing in faith. And devil, you don't get to do this to me. You don't get to accuse me anymore, because if that thing stays lingering, you'll be jealous of every kid, every parent whose kids seem to have gone the right way, and it'll tie your gut in knots every time you see something that you don't have. But there is a place of healing and truth even here now while you're waiting for your breakthrough. Well, Dr. Jack Hayford, again, I write about this in Fully Alive, but it just is an important point for this context, said the best thing about Hannah's story. He says, Hannah could not know or understand in the moment that barrenness wasn't just her condition. It was Israel's condition as well. It was a time of where the people lacked godly leadership, political corruption ran amok. They needed intervention. And as Hannah is crying out to the Lord for a child, for a son, she was praying in concert with God's heart for a prophet. You know, God's delay for Hannah was for his deliverance for Israel. Samuel would be the greatest prophet of all time. And it's like over and over again, when you fear God and you walk in his way and you're in a delay, it's a sacred space. He has not forgotten about you. He's not looked the other way. He's not shrugging his shoulders or rolling his eyes at you. This is a sacred place. And when you wait on the Lord for new strength, that's an act of waiting. That's a dealing with the issues of your heart. It's keeping your heart so engaged, going, I'm not going to be offended by you, God. I'm going to quickly deal with my disappointments in you, God. I'm going to trust you with my whole heart. If you do that in due time, you will rise up like wings, with wings like eagles. You'll run and not get weary. You'll walk and not faint. You will know a strength you've not known before. I just think it's so powerful. One thing Jack Hayford says is, as she's praying in concert with God's heart, What if we considered the same? The enemy will accuse you, maybe because you're overweight, or you've got a prodigal, or you can't seem to overcome this health struggle, or your marriage, no matter how hard you try, you're constantly in conflict. He wants you at the orphan table. He wants to be able to accuse you all day long. But Jesus is saying, I don't yank you from your place at the table of grace because you blow it or you miss it or someone doesn't like you, you know, or you forget who you are. I don't yank you from your place and toss you back to the orphan table. The enemy is the one who wants you in a scarcity mindset. Why? He's terrified that you, in the middle of your not yets, in the middle of your battle, he's terrified that you will rise up and go, wait a minute here. I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of God. I have the promises of God. You cannot have my family. You cannot have my marriage, my children. In fact, I'm not only going to pray for my children. I'm praying for every child, every prodigal child. I'm not going to only pray for my marriage. I'm praying for every marriage hanging on by a thread. Raise them up, God. Raise them up. If you need some fire in your belly when it comes to intercessory prayer and praying the bigger story, you got to go back and watch the Kendrick Brothers War Room with Priscilla Shire. It'll just light a fire in you. When we step into the bigger story, that's when we start to see things move. The enemy wants us either, as I said, baited into apathy or in fight flight, where we are bracing for impact. And both of those really are a misunderstanding of God. The apathy is we're not taking God seriously enough. The fear, fight flight, we're taking the enemy more serious than we're taking God, where our fears almost become rebellious. So this in-between time is really perfect time for us to learn how to trust God, to keep our hearts tender in the waiting, and to really guard against numbed out indulgence, because we don't want to feel the stuff that we're feeling. But God knows it's in there. And here's what I wrote in this particular chapter. Hannah turned to the Lord. She didn't numb out, check out, or fall out of the race. She ran to the Lord and poured out her heart to him. We run a great risk of losing precious traction when we turn to the left or the right and indulge in that which weakens us. It's easy, and it's tempting to do. Why not treat ourselves to a few indulgences here and there for all the hardships we've endured? You know what? Nothing wrong with a few treats now and then. But I think we all know the difference between freedom within self-control and indulging because I deserve more than God is giving me at the moment, so I don't have to face or feel what's happening beneath the surface. The painful reality is this. Indulgence, wrongly motivated, consumption that feeds the flesh will always weaken us and weaken the spirit, and which will cause us to drift even when we're unaware. Indulgence, wrongly motivated, consumption that feeds the flesh will always weaken the spirit, which causes us to drift unaware. This is not about legalism. It's about wisdom and strategy in battle. How you care for your heart. Well, it seems like God is not there. He's there. He's near. But this is training time for reigning time. That's what William MacDonald calls it, training time for reigning time. When we come back, I'm going to tell you a story about when I just started to doubt some things based on what my eyes see, what my ears heard. But then I was reminded of the promise of God, and I grabbed hold of it like a pit bull, and I saw God move in such a way. I'll never forget it. I'll talk more about that when we come back. Talking to you about navigating the long battle. I'm praying you're finding some encouragement, and we'll be back in a minute.
Hey, this is Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen on the Faith Radio Network. I'm seeking to reconnect the eternal with the everyday. I do that in part through conversations about today's relevant issues, hopefully helping to equip you to bring Christ back into every conversation in your life. You can subscribe to my daily podcast at myfaithradio.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I heard a small voice say your debt's been paid by somebody else. And now I'm walking, walking, walking free. No more darkness, guilt has lost its grip on me. When mercy called my name, those chains fell.
Thank you, Lord. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. You are my special guest today. Every Friday this month, we're drawing the content from my book, Strong in Battle, Why the Humble Will Prevail. It just released. And we've got an awesome online study opportunity next month. But this is a month you sign up for that. And you don't need the book to do the online study, and it's free. But we're giving away 20 copies this month, thanks to Bethany House Publishers. So 20 of you will have a copy, and I hope that I'm just trusting the right people will get it. If you want in on the drawing, you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. We saw some really private prayer requests come in, and we will gather those and we will definitely pray for you. Talking this day about navigating the long battle and how, what we do in that time in between is so important. And one of the things I'd mentioned a couple segments ago is how God decides when the battle's over. We sometimes, you know, when you're tired of suffering or tired of waiting, we will try to short circuit the process or preempt an outcome or take matters into our own hands, which never, never works. And the thing is, what I really realized is that what did God save me from? Like, I wanted relief. I wanted ease. I saw other people taking these vacations and having all this margin in their schedules, and I'm trying to do everything I needed to do with all these symptoms, and I felt like I was a have-not until one day God impressed upon my heart, all of the engagement that this is requiring is actually strengthening my hands for battle. Like, what if I would have had my guard down and had my way, what would the enemy have been able to lure me into? This way, my faith muscles stayed engaged, and I don't know what God protected me from, but I know that I came out the other side of the worst parts of this battle with a much stronger sense of who he is, who I am, and what his word says. And I'll tell you what, in that fire, your fear of man just dies. You come out the other side and you just don't need people to approve of you like you once did. And that is freedom, because then you can be on mission. You can love people, but you keep your hope in God. So this story, this happened a number of years ago in the middle of some of this hard stuff. And I was just, you know, feeling exhausted all the time. I was tired of it. And I just couldn't believe at this age, I was going through round two of this battle. And we flew somewhere for an event, and the host took us out to eat, Kev and I. And she'd said something like, yeah, she said, we're so excited to hear you speak. Great to have you back, because we'd been there before. And she says, I have a directive from my boss, though, to ask you, because you do the radio thing, any much younger people, younger than you, we want to go for younger speakers. And, do you have anybody in mind? Whatever. And I felt my heart just sort of, drop. Well, anyway, we get to the place, and Kev right away has to go set up the book table. Now, my hubby is just humble and gracious, and we go together. So we saw years ago when women were out speaking and their husbands are back at home, it created kind of an inequity and a divide in the marriage. And we just said, we're either going out together or we're staying home together. So we say no to a lot more than we say yes to, but we're going out together. We're going to keep our marriage intact. But without fail, because he's working the media and the book table, without fail, some dude will say to him, hey, why don't you get a real job instead of working for your wife? And I seriously want to tackle them to the ground, because it's like, first of all, this isn't working for me. This isn't my thing. This is an us thing, because we really believe that when God gets a hold of a heart of a woman, a family and a community and a world can change. And Kev does plenty of ministry with guys, but we're in this together. And second, he has a real job, as if this wouldn't be a real job, but he works in, commercial construction as a manager. But I don't need to say all that, but it's just, sometimes Kev just chuckles and brushes it off. But there's other times it's so cutting and diminishing that it's like, so anyway, so here I am. I'm in the room. He's down doing the table, and the sun was coming in, and it had one of those floor mirrors that was the big oval mirror. And I sat down on the bed just feeling old and shriveled after that woman's comment. The sun moves to this place and it reflects in that mirror and right on me. And I could see every wrinkle. Like, I could see myself in, Technicolor, and I'm like, and I like shriveled even more. I sat on the bed like, I'm so old. I don't even talk like that, because I'm young at heart. I'm healthy and strong, but I was sitting there all shriveled like a raisin on the bed. Like, I had this exaggerated picture or whatever. Like, I looked 120 years old. And then Kev comes in and he plops on the chair, and I knew what had happened. I said, same thing. Like, did someone say something to you? And he said, yeah. And we're both like, we're old and shriveled. what are we doing here? It was the most ridiculous thing, because this was a handful of years ago, and we still have plenty of years and gears left in us. But it was just like this defeating moment. And all of a sudden, the Lord brought me back to a verse I had stumbled upon while I was reading the Bible on the plane. And it didn't go in until it came alive in that moment. And it was Psalm 112, 1 through 2. Blessed is the man who fears God and delights in his way. His seed will be mighty in the land, and a generation of the upright will be blessed. Now, the seed there means descendants and future generations, but there's a lot in scripture about the seed, you know, sowing seeds, and he provides seed to the sower and bread for food. I can't even explain to you what happened, but I hopped up off that bed. I stood up and I said, enough of this. I said, you know what? When you walk with God and you fear him and you engage in him, there's no you know, age limit on what God will do. And he does some of the greatest things in scripture through some of these people in their latter years. Like, I just got feisty. I'm like, what the heck are we doing here? And when we go through the motions and disengage our hearts and believe this stuff the enemy throws at us, he kind of disempowers us. But all of a sudden, we thought of that again. We've been called to this part of the country. We have seed. We are going to sow it. We fear you, God. We delight in you. Our seed is going to be mighty in this land. In fact, we are trusting God to do such a profound work this weekend in the hearts of these people. They're going to go home and they're going to change their families and their communities because they're going to be set ablaze. Well, God did something that I can't even explain. There was such power and anointing on the sessions, but at the end of, I don't know if it was the first or second night, I just asked people to come forward if they wanted to resurrender, recommit, up their game with the Lord. And it wasn't the kind of setting where you normally would see an active response like that. I was really taking a risk, but they got up and ran to the front. I mean, it was so packed. The aisles were so packed. Women went to their knees. Some went to their face. Now, there are some denominations where that's just normal. This was not that place. But people just flew forward, and some were wailing and putting their head on the stage going, oh, God, I'm so sorry. I've cared so much about what people think. I've made it religion and not relationship. And the host is sitting across the aisle from me, and her jaw was dropped, and tears were pouring down her eyes. And she looked at me, and she said, this has never, ever happened in this place. And I want to just tell you something. There's no substitute for the power of God. Christianity is not some hip social club where you're only useful to God if you can fit into those ridiculous skinny jeans. You know, it's not glorified high school where you have the popular crowd and the unpopular crowd. The only haves and have-nots in the kingdom are those who have faith and those who don't, those who fear him and those who don't. There's no substitute for the power of God. If you stand in awe of him, if you honor him and follow hard after him, you can walk in his power. You can appropriate his promises, whether you're 10 years old or 100 years old. Somebody got to give me an amen. I'm telling you, it is amazing how we take the bait. If we first let ourselves think things that are not in agreement with heaven's song over our lives, that's all the enemy needs, to come in with a more believable lie, to add weight to what we're already entertaining, and then it dismantles our ministry. I want to say this again. If you stand in awe of God, if you honor him and you follow hard after him, you can walk in his power. You can appropriate his promises, whether you are 10 years old or 100 years old. It's about God's power. It's about his presence. It's about his promises. All he needs is a vessel that will trust him. Psalm 103:11, God's unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the heights of the heavens above the earth. He is looking for those who will believe him. He's looking for faith on the earth. You know what? He wants to use you right now in our day in ways that are disproportionate to who you are or anything you've seen up to this point. And I say it all the time, no matter how long you've walked with God, it is like you hold a Dixie cup and the ocean remains. There's so much more of God to experience, so much more of his love and his compassion and his power. He wants you to you know, see someone in the grocery store and you have a sense in your spirit they're hurting, and you bravely go up and say, my name is so-and-so. I just want to know if I could pray for you. And you put your hand on their shoulder and you pray and they're healed or they're set free. God wants us to walk in power, and I'm going to unpack this either the next Friday or the Friday after that, but I have this faith statement, and I'm just going to say it as we're getting ready to wrap up. As a citizen of the heavenly kingdom, an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ, and filled with the Spirit of the living God, I speak with precision, I pray with power, and I walk in authority. I am anointed and appointed. I am blessed and beloved. I am bold and brave. I am called and courageous. Because I know God is with me, I will triumph over my enemy, and I will stand with Jesus on that final day. Amen and amen. As an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ, filled with the Spirit of the living God, you can speak with precision. You can pray with power. You can walk in authority. I want you to get a vision for what an upgrade in faith and encounters with God might look like, so that you start to feel more confident in who he is than who you've been, where you've been, or whatever the enemy pokes at you. You know why he pokes at you? Because he's threatened by you. He's hoping against hope that you don't get a hold of the fact that nothing can separate you from the Father's love. There's no way that God's going to yank you from the table of grace. And there's so much more that he wants to do in and through you. So the question is, will you trust him? And if you are in the long battle, what you do in this time in between matters greatly. So I pray that you lean in, you worship, you study, you wrestle, you trust him, you ask him to speak to you. And then you rise up from that place and just assume that God wants to use you in greater ways in the days to come than he's used you in the past. I pray you found some encouragement here today. We sure love and appreciate you. Can't even tell you what a joy it is to walk this journey and do this together. I just love you so much. And we will meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.